here in Harlem who run these whiskey stores that get you drunk. It is Jews that run these old rundown stores that sell you bad food. It is Jews who control the economy of Harlem and use it for themselves and for the benefit of Israel. And got smell enough to walk around here some NAACP or CORE and think we're going to be blind to what they're doing to us. No, someone better pull their coat. Someone better pull their coat. Before you start pulling some heads. That's not anti-Semitic, that's just plain intelligence. You know, I was on a program here in New York on Channel 13, in which I made a statement concerning how the Jews control about 80% of the economy in most Negro communities across the country. And the Jews organized themselves and wouldn't let that thing come back on Channel 13. It was two interviews. One was done by Baldwin and one was done by me. The one I did two. One was short and one was a 30-minute duration. And at the end of it, you remember Morgenthau jumped up and said that he's not responsible for anything I said. Well, I can understand why he said that, because during that same week, these same old so-called liberal Jews who claim they believe in free speech and all that old kind of stuff, they got together and prevented the showing of that interview again, simply because I had made the statement. That the Jews are the ones who are rousing us and exploiting us up here in Harlem and across the country. The Jews believe in censorship more than anybody else. You know, all you got to do is start talking about Jews, and you'll find all the papers will close up on you. They can't take it. They can't take any criticism. They're the most sensitive white people on this earth. They don't like you to talk about them, but they want to talk about everybody else. They want to tell you what Hitler and Eichmann did to them, but don't want us to tell you what Uncle Sam has done to us. And Hitler didn't kill as many of them as Uncle Sam did kill those of us. And if they were justified in snatching Eichmann and taking him back over there and gassing him, then God has justified grabbing Uncle Sam and putting the gas to him. See, they set themselves up as judge and high lord executioner. Well, we're not doing that. We're leaving the judgment and the justice up to God. So, brothers and sisters, your present demand today here in America for more of the white man's jobs, which are already scarce, can lead to nothing but violence and bloodshed. It may even lead to a race war, a bloody race war. And it is the government itself that is now pressing the people of this country into a racial bloodbath. Government policy is doing nothing but instigating the two races toward nothing but a clash, a racial bloodbath. But what white people in this country should be made to understand, this is a new day. And our people, this generation, is a new people. That old Uncle Tom type Negro is dead. He's gone. Tom is gone. Our people have no more fear of anyone. They have no more fear of anything. We're not afraid to go to jail. We're not afraid to give our very life itself. And what's most important, we're not afraid to take the life of those who try and take our life. Did you hear what I said? This is the basic difference between this generation and former generations. We'll give our life, just like that. But not only will we give it, we'll take the life of the one who's trying to take our life. We believe in a fair exchange. We believe in an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's justice. There's nothing wrong with that. An eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth, and an arm for an arm, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. When you have that kind of philosophy, no one will put his hands on you. You walk around here, keep turning and enemy loving, while you'll have knots on your body from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. If the white man doesn't turn his other cheek, you don't need to turn your other cheek. If the white man doesn't learn to love his enemy, you don't need to love your enemy. If the white man doesn't give up his life, easily. You don't need to give up your life easily. If it's hard to take his life, it should be hard for him to take your life. That's justice. Why, his Bible even says, he who kills with the sword will be killed by the sword. That's what his Bible says in the 13th chapter of Revelation in his Bible. He who leaves into captivity will go into captivity. That's justice. How you gonna make a man a slave and think you're too good to be made a slave? Why, if the Bible is right, then the white man has to go into slavery. If the Bible is right, then the white man has to be lynched. If the Bible is right, the white man has to be made to suffer the same things that our people have suffered. It's justice. And if this is the price of freedom, we won't hesitate to pay that price. By trying to oppose the divine solution that God has given to the American government will actually provoke another civil war. And by that I mean, this government will provoke a civil war among white people by trying to force white people to give their jobs to our people. And our people will provoke a race war by trying to make white people give up their jobs. Don't you mislead yourself. If the government tries to force them to give us jobs, the government's going to have a civil war. And if you try and force them to give up their jobs, you're going to make up a race war. These are facts. Our idiots can see through these. This racial dilemma poses a serious problem for white America. Civil war between white people on the one hand, and a race war between the whites and their 20 million ex-slaves on the other hand. And the entire dark world is watching, waiting to see what the American government will do to solve this problem once and for all. We must have a permanent solution. A temporary solution won't do. 20 million ex-slaves must be permanently separated from our former slave masters and placed on some land that we can call our own. And then we can create our own jobs. Then we can control our own economy. And then we can solve our own problems instead of waiting for the American white man to solve our problems for us. On our own land, we can set up farms. On our own land, we can set up factories. On our own land, we can set up businesses. We can establish our own government and become an independent nation. And once we become separated from the jurisdiction of this white nation, we can then enter into trade and commerce for ourselves with other independent nations. This is the only solution. We must be an independent nation. We now number 20 million black people, a nation within a nation, a black nation within a white nation, crying to be born, crying to be set free. And let us go our way. If he doesn't love us, we sure don't love him. And if he doesn't want us, we sure don't want him. In our own land, we can establish our own agricultural system. We can farm. We can grow food to feed our own people. We can raise cattle. We can use the hide, the leather, the wool to make clothing for our own people. We can dig the clay from the earth and bake it into bricks and build houses and homes for our people. We can chop down trees and turn it into lumber and build furniture to furnish homes for our people. When I was in Africa, I saw Africans making their own furniture. I mean modern furniture, up-to-date furniture, sharp furniture. They over there making their own. You over here begging Goldberg for his. A dollar down and a dollar when I catch you. And Goldberg always catches you. If Goldberg can't catch you, Goldstein will catch you. And if Goldstein don't catch you, Greenberg will catch you. A dollar down and a dollar later, and later is always now. When we have our own land, we can dig the natural resources from the earth. Land is the basis of all economic security. Land is the freedom, justice, and equality. Land is essential to true independence. Africans aren't asking for integration. They're asking for land.
In Kenya, they told the white man to get out. Uganda, they told the white man to get out. Tanganyika, they told the white man to get out. In Guinea, they told the white man to get out. In Egypt, they told the white man to get out. In Morocco and Algeria, they told the white man to get out. In the Congo, Lumumba told the white man to get out. And in southern Rhodesia, they're telling the white man to get out. In northern Rhodesia, they're telling the white man to get out. In Angola, they're telling the white man to get out. In southwest Africa, they're telling the white man to get out. In Mozambique, they're telling the white man to get out. And in South Africa, they're telling the white man to get out. And he says he's not going, but he got another thought coming. He's going. He'll either walk out or swim out in his own blood. He'll walk out of his own volition, or he'll swim out in his own blood. Because the black man has awakened, and the black man has united. And where there's unity, there's strength. You don't need any guns. You just need some unity and a blade when it gets dark. You don't need any jets. You don't need any atomic bombs. You don't need any battleships. All you need is darkness. You need nightfall. That's how Jesus said he was coming, without observation. He's going to sneak up on you. So be like Jesus. Sneak up on them. Wait till it gets dark. Wait till they can't see you, so they don't recognize you and won't know you. And then introduce yourself to them. They did unto you. That's fair. That's justice. That's equality. That's how you equalize the situation. I know they don't want to hear me say that. But I'm telling you the truth. When a white man drafts you in his army and trains you how to fight his enemy, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Fight an enemy. I don't blame him for doing that. But you're also supposed to know how to fight your enemy. And you fight your enemy just like he fights his enemy. You don't spare no blows. You don't spare no quarter. He doesn't spare any quarter. He's not merciful. He dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. 80-something thousand people died just like this. He didn't care. Women and children, he didn't care. They were his enemies. No prayer, no mercy, no nothing. He just wiped them out. You can learn a lot from the white man. We must be separated from the American white man and return to our own land and our own people. This is the only solution. But just as the biblical government of Egypt under Pharaoh was against Moses, because Moses had been directed by God to separate the Hebrew slaves from Pharaoh and lead them out of the house of bondage to a land of their own. Today, this modern house of bondage, America, under the authority of the American government, opposes the effort to separate us from the people here who made us their slaves and lead us to a land of our own. This government opposes the effort to wake our people up. The government opposes efforts to clean our people up. And the government opposes efforts to stand our people on our own feet so we can walk out of this house of bondage to our own land and to our own people. And just as the government of biblical Egypt was against the God of the Hebrew slaves, today the American government is against the God of the Negro slaves. And just as that Pharaoh tried to trick the Hebrew slaves into rejecting the offers of salvation from their God, by deceiving them with false promises through magicians whom he had hired, who were carefully staging demonstrations to fool the people. Today, this government is paying certain elements to deceive you, to deceive us, into thinking that we're going to be accepted into the mainstream of American life. You'll never be accepted into the mainstream of American life. You will never get equality in America from the white man. You will never get justice in America from the white man. You will never get freedom in America from the white man. You will never be accepted in America by the American white man as a human being. The government is deceiving you with false promises, so you won't want to return to your own land and your own people. The government propagandists are telling you, stay here. Don't listen. And if you don't listen, they tell you they'll desegregate the lunch counter. If you don't listen, they'll desegregate the theater. If you don't listen, they'll desegregate the park or desegregate the public toilet. Imagine that, all right. If you don't listen, you have a chance to go to the toilet with white folks. Why, you're out of your mind. Only way I want to go through the toilet with him is to put him down with the rest of that stuff. Flush him right down the drain with the rest of his kind. They tell you that if you don't listen, we'll give you more civil rights bills. You hear the difference? Civil rights bill. They're going to give you another bill and another bill and another bill, and if all you get is the bill. The government promises you this only to keep you from listening and to stop you from waking up. They know that if you listen long enough, you'll begin to do your own thinking. See for yourself. Make you able to hear for yourself. Make you able to think for yourself. And make you able to speak for yourself. And sure will make you able and willing and ready to fight for yourself. Whenever you have become fed up with the white man's brutality, and you get set to take matters into your own hands in order to defend your own people, this same hypocritical government tries to pacify you with deceitful promises of tricky civil rights legislation that is never designed as a true solution to your and my problems. Civil rights legislation will never solve our problems. The white liberals are nothing but political hypocrites who use our people as political football, only to get bills passed that will increase their own power. And the present proposed civil rights legislation in Washington, D.C. is designed to do nothing but give the present administration in Washington dictatorial power and make America a legal police state. But it will still never solve our problems. It'll give them power. But still, you and I will be here catching hell. And this is what you must see. The present administration is only using civil rights as a political football to gain more legislation and power for itself. And our people are being used as pawns, political pawns, in the game of power politics by political hypocrites. You can't please the white man. You out there at the downstate Brooklyn Medical Center trying to integrate, and they put you in jail. You can't please him. If you want to get away from you, he condemns you. If you try and cuddle up to him, he condemns you. If you lay down flat on the sidewalk and say, walk on to Mr. White folks, he's still not satisfied. He tells you, roll over on the other side, nigga. Get over on your back. You just can't please him. You can't satisfy him. Well, you're out of your mind trying to make love to a white man. You're trying to call yourself appealing to his moral conscience. He has no moral conscience. He has no moral. I ain't gonna have moral conscience. He neither has moral nor conscience, much less moral conscience. Now, don't waste your time. So the propaganda of the American government is skillfully designed to make our people think they don't want us. The government. This is government propaganda. This is government skullduggery. Yes, I'm telling you what it is. You don't have nothing put in the paper today that's not government control. Propaganda. They believe in propaganda. Psychological warfare for the mind of man, for your mind, for your body, for your soul, for your allegiance. Propaganda warfare. Propaganda is constantly being put upon you by the newspapers, by the television, by the magazines, by comic books, by everything designed to brainwash you into thinking that if you stay here, someday you'll have it made. No, you'll never have it made in this country. To keep you here, the government tells you Africa is a jungle. Isn't that what they say? That Africans are savage. That Africans are backwards. They don't have modern conveniences over there. That's what they tell you. And then they tell you, you're too much like us white folks. What would you do? How would you live if you go back over there? And some of these old dumb, brainwashed, handkerchief-head, 20th century intellectual Negroes, first thing they tell you when you say something about, let's go back home, I haven't lost anything in Africa. No, you lost it all right here. You came over here with it. When you came over here, you had it. But you lost it. You lost your name. You lost your language. You lost your mind. You lost your culture. Don't tell me you didn't lose your mind. You came over here black-minded. Now you're white-minded. Been brainwashed. All of the color has been taken out of your heart and out of your mind. Now you're running around not satisfied unless you can talk like white folks. Unless you can walk like white folks. Unless you can eat and sleep like white folks. You're a white-black man. White on the inside and black on the outside. You're not this and you're not that. Mistake in between. And don't nobody want you, because you don't want yourself. Why, the book says, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Nobody want Mr. In-Between. You're a middleman. They won't let you be white, and you don't want to be black. You don't want to be an African, and you can't be an American. So you run around here like a nut, like a nut on the law, sitting on the fence. You're in bad shape. Imagine the white man telling you and me that Africa is a jungle. And everything over there is backwards. And if you go over there, you won't like the living conditions. How are they living over there? Why, we got to fight them over there to get them out. If there's no well over there, why don't they get out of there? Why did Lumumba have to fight to get the Belgians out of the Congo? So it's one of the most beautiful places on this earth. If it wasn't beautiful, the white man wouldn't be there. You got the white man all over there. He's everywhere over there, living like a king. But they're getting ready to send him. Send him. No, it's not a jungle. It's civilized. It's cultured. It's developed. It's intelligent. High morals. High everything. Good people. Friendly people. Hospitable people. Brother to a brother. That's how they kidnapped us. We were too hospitable. We saw the old white man coming over the hill, and we accepted him into our city as a friend. And he shipped us down the river, sold us into bondage. This is one of the greatest mistakes that our people made, opening their doors in hospitality to the white man. And when we first saw him coming, we should have sent him then. And we never would have had to catch the hell we've been catching over here in America for the past 400 years. When he came to Africa, he came from the jungle to civilization. Because the jungle was in Europe. Savages were in Europe. Cannibals were in Europe. Cannibals were in Africa. Cannibals were in Europe. White people were up there eating each other up. They still eat each other up. You've seen these berries and things running around here. Those are white people. That's the way they live. They're cannibals. They're savages. They have no morals. A low-down, filthy race. The most filthy race on this earth. They used to live in the cave. They walked on their all fours. They were naked like animals. They couldn't walk upright. They didn't wear clothes. They didn't cook their food. Why, they ate raw meat. They still like their meat rare. Rare? Raw. That's the dog in them, brother. There's the animal in them, brother. Now they're a race of cave dwellers. Didn't know how to bury their dead. For 2,000 years, they lived up in the caves of Europe. And during that time, you and my people were living in luxury, living with high culture, living in a high civilization. Why, Africa is the root of civilization. Africa is the home of civilization. Africa's been civilized a long time. They have all kinds of civilizations in Africa. They have the Egyptian civilization, the Carthaginian civilization, the Mali Empire, the empires of Benin, of Mali, Songhai. Why, you can call out empires all day long from the African continent that were at a high state of culture when these blue-eyed things were crawling around up in Europe, living in huts, eating raw meat. I love to talk about it. I do. I love to talk about it. Yes, I love to talk about it. Talk about them like a dog. And they should be able to take it. Now they know how we feel. Why, when I was a little boy, they called me nigger so much, I thought that was my name. That's all they knew how to call you. Now they get an inkling of how we feel, and the chickens that they sent out there are coming home to roost. They are a race of cave dwellers, raw meat eaters, naked, no clothes wear. That's where they came from. They are not fit to be walking around here telling you to look like they do or imitate them. No, they learned civilization from you. They learn culture from you. They learn how to wear clothes from you. They learn how to cook their food from you. They learn mathematics from you. They learn science from you. Why, the black man in Africa has mastered the arts and sciences. Way back yonder, he mastered the mathematical sciences, the astronomical sciences, to the extent where he could plot the course of the stars in the universe when this old white, blue-eyed thing didn't even know that the earth was round. He just found out the earth was round.